Amen. If you would, please remain standing just another moment and turn in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 1. It's also going to be on the screen if you're using the black pew Bibles there in front of you or underneath you if you're in the front or back rows. This is on page 857, 857. We're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're able to remain standing just another few moments, Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read beginning at verse 67. This is the word of the Lord. And his father, this is John the Baptist's father, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Let's give thanks to him for it. Indeed, Father, we give thanks to you for your word. And we ask now by your Spirit that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better and so love like you love. For all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? The word Advent, simply means coming or arrival. And so we use this season, these weeks leading up to Christmas Day, we call the season Advent, and we use this season to remember and celebrate Jesus' first coming at his birth, and also to draw our attention to Jesus' second coming at his return. Right? Advent remembers Jesus' first coming, and it reminds us that we're waiting for Jesus' second coming, his second advent, his return. And this year, our Advent theme through these weeks of December leading up to Christmas Day on Sunday mornings, our theme has been faithfulness. We've been focusing on faithfulness. How do we pursue faithfulness? How do we stay faithful while we wait for Jesus' second coming? And this faithfulness, our faithfulness, it's rooted in and it flows out from God's own faithfulness. Our faithfulness is rooted in and flows out from God's own faithfulness. And we see that in this poem from Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is a priest. He's the father of John the Baptist. And Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they were pretty old in age and they didn't have any children. But one day while Zechariah was in the temple praying on behalf of all the people of Israel, an angel appears to Zechariah and tells him Elizabeth is going to have a child. He's going to be a father, finally. And his son would go before the Messiah, before Jesus, as a prophet preparing the way of the Lord. When we come to our text, that day has already come. Zechariah's son is born 8 days later. Family, friends, the whole community, they gather together. They circumcise this male child. They name him John. And then immediately, Zechariah, overcome by the Holy Spirit, he begins to speak the word of the Lord. That's this poem, this text in front of us this evening. And in this text, in this poem, we see our faithfulness is rooted in and it flows out from God's own faithfulness. One of the things I love about this poem is that this poem is full of historical memory, right? Memories of all of God's promises to his people, Israel, throughout their history. And so over and over throughout our text, we hear Zechariah say things like, because God said, verse 70, because God promised, verse 72, because God swore an oath, verse 73. This is a poem, this is a song celebrating a God who keeps his word, a God who keeps his promises, a God who is faithful. You see, our faithfulness is rooted in and flows out from God's own faithfulness. And this text in front of us tonight, it's a reminder that Jesus' first coming is a declaration and a demonstration of God's faithfulness. Jesus' first coming, his birth, his life, they're all an assurance that Jesus will indeed one day come again to fully and finally bring about all of God's promises. You see, Jesus' first coming, his birth and his life, it's assurance. It's a down payment. It's evidence that one day God will fully and finally bring about the completion of all his promises. The first coming is assurance of the second coming, evidence of God's faithfulness. So Advent, then, is a call to that same faithfulness, because our faithfulness is rooted in and flows out from God's own faithfulness. And we see God's faithfulness in our text this evening. We see God's faithfulness through his power, through his presence, and through his peace. Through his power, through his presence, through his peace. Let's look at these three briefly together tonight. First, his power. Verse 69, Luke chapter 1, verse 69, Zechariah announces God has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Now, the image of a horn in the Old Testament, it's an image of strength, right? So think not here of a trumpet, but rather think instead of a ram's horn, of a bull's horn. This here, it's a weapon, right? It's an image of a mighty animal of strength. And by this horn, you keep reading to verse 71, by this horn, God will deliver us from our enemies. God's going to deliver us from all those who hate us. Verse 74, from all of our enemies. You see, friends, in Zechariah's poem here, this is a military victory. This is a political victory, a political salvation, right? Israel's been oppressed and occupied for these last several hundred years. It was Assyria, then it was Babylon, then it was Greece. Now, in the time of our text, it's Rome. This is an oppressed people. It's an occupied people. And they wanted to be rescued. They wanted freedom from occupation, deliverance from the people who held them captive. The problem is, and this is going to rub against our modern sensibilities a little bit, the problem is Israel deserved this occupation and mistreatment. And I know that strikes us funny, but if you read through the Old Testament, over and over and over again, God promises land. He promises peace. He promises flourishing if only his people will follow him, obey him, stay faithful to him. But instead, they keep turning away. They keep rebelling against God. They keep turning to false gods. They turn to other countries when they're in danger. They turn to their military when they're in danger. They turn to their political leaders instead of turning to God. Instead of faithful, Israel was faithless. And so God hands them over to their enemies. This is a picture meant even for us. It's a picture meant to teach us that when we rebel against God, it leads to oppression. It leads to being held captive, hostage by sin and darkness and evil and death. That's the result of rebellion against God. It's what we deserve because we sin against God in our thought and our words and our deeds, because we don't love God above all else, because we don't seek God and his glory. But if we keep reading this song, there's a turn in the text. A surprising twist comes in verse 77. Yes, a Savior is coming. Yes, one was coming to deliver us from our enemies and from our oppression. But first, God was going to deal with our sin. This is why Jesus came the first time, not as a military savior, not as a political victor, but as a sacrifice for sin. He came to pay what we deserve because of our own rebellion against God. And actually, this is an even greater power than that of the military or a king or ruler or even president, because this is a power over death itself. That's verse 79. Zechariah says, to give light to those in darkness and death. The power of Jesus Christ is a power even over death itself. Through his life, through his death on the cross on our behalf, through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has defeated the powers of sin, of darkness, of evil, and of death. Friends, this is a power that drives our faithfulness. Because the same God who has power over sin, darkness, evil, and death will one day deliver us fully and finally from all oppression and all evil, because Jesus' first coming is assurance of his second coming. You see, this is Advent. It's remembering Jesus' first coming, which calls us to faithfulness while we wait for his second coming. A faithfulness rooted in God's own faithfulness, because it's rooted in God's own power. Rooted in God's power and rooted in God's presence. Here's the point that I want us to catch tonight. Our faithfulness is rooted in and flows out from God's own faithfulness. We see that faithfulness in Jesus' first coming because his first coming is assurance of his second coming. And that's especially clear when we look at God's presence. When we look at God's presence. So in some ways, the Bible itself begins and ends with the presence of God. Right? So think about the story. If you know the beginning chapters of the Bible, and those first chapters of Genesis, what does it say? Our first parents, they walked with God in the cool of the garden. Right? Perfect relationship. Perfect presence. They were together in person with God. God's presence with his people. Well, the Bible actually ends in the very same way. The last chapters of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John says this, now the dwelling place of God is with humanity. It's the promise of perfect relationship again. The promise of one day being together with God in person again. It's the promise of God's presence with his people. But what about this in-between time? What about this in-between time? If we're honest, many of us, we often feel far away from God, don't we? I mean, there's times when it feels like God's not even there. I can't hear him, I can't feel him, and there's just this empty space in between us. So how do we know God's presence is real? How do we know that one day God really will come again and be with us personally, tangibly? How do we know that's really going to happen? How do we know God's going to keep his promise? How do we know he's going to be faithful to his word? Through Advent, Jesus' first coming is assurance of his second coming. And we see that language here in Zechariah's song. Verse 68, Zechariah opens with these words. He says, God has visited his people. It's language that intentionally evokes presence. It's language even that echoes the very beginning of Luke's story when that angel Gabriel tells Zechariah that he stands in the presence of God. This is language of appearing. This is language of visiting. This is language of showing up. It's language of presence. It's also the language of God made flesh through the Messiah, Jesus. We see that in verse 78. The sunrise shall visit us from on high. This is a reference to the Messiah coming from God as the very presence of God among his people. And I just think this is really cool. If you let us just go just a little bit deeper here for just a minute. The prophets, all throughout the Old Testament, they were promising that one day a king like David was coming to rescue his people. And sometimes they would tell the promise like this. Here's an example from Jeremiah 22, verse 5. Jeremiah 22, verse 5, the prophet says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Well, some of you will know the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, right? But when that Hebrew is translated into Greek, the Greek Old Testament reads like this, "I will raise up for David," not a righteous branch, but says this, "I will raise up for David a righteous dawn." a righteous dawn. That's the language in our text this evening. The sunrise, the righteous dawn, will visit us from God. God's presence came to us personally, physically, tangibly, inside time and space, through the birth of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's an assurance that God's presence will come to us fully and finally when King Jesus returns. And if our faithfulness really is rooted in and flows out from God's own faithfulness, what that means, dear friends, is on those days when you feel distant from God, on those days when God feels like he's a million miles away, on those days when you're desperately longing for his presence, remember Advent. Remember the assurance that is rooted in Jesus' first coming, because that first coming is a reminder, it's a down payment, it's evidence that one day he will come again. And on that day, we will know his presence perfectly and personally. Grab a hold of Advent and let Jesus' first coming assure you of his second coming, assure you of his perfect presence. Because his first coming assures us of his second. And at that second coming, King Jesus is going to come. And just like Jeremiah said, he will reign. He will deal wisely. He will execute justice and righteousness in the land. On that day when King Jesus comes, he will heal all wounds and restore everything that is broken. On that day, he's going to make the whole world new and whole and right again. On that day, he's going to bring us perfect, lasting peace. That's the goal. We see it in verse 79. He'll guide our feet into the way of peace. In some ways, this whole song culminates right here. We have peace because God removes our enemies. Peace because God takes away our oppressors. Peace because God has dealt with our sin. Peace because God has restored our relationship to him. But there's even more here in this song. Remember, Zechariah is an Israelite priest, and his understanding of peace is firmly rooted in the Hebrew scriptures, in our Old Testament. And so peace, or the Hebrew word here, shalom, it's more than just freedom from strife or conflict. It's about wholeness. It's about completion. It's about human flourishing. It's about the world and life as they're supposed to be, as they were made to be. And the end goal here, and you could see this in verse 74 and 75, the end goal here is that we might serve the Lord all our days without fear. That's faithfulness. This is flourishing, serving the Lord our God all our days without fear. This flourishing, this wholeness, this peace, it's rooted in God's own faithfulness. If you think back through your life, most of us here, we've tasted some of that peace at different moments in our life, haven't we? Right? There have been these times where maybe you've tasted just a little bit of closeness to God. Tasting those moments where you're doing something and all of a sudden it feels like, I was made for this. And you feel that wholeness, that completion, doing what we were made to do. We've had those experiences, this fleeting sense of everything in this moment is just right. Friends, all these experiences, they're down payments. They're evidences. They're assurance of God's faithfulness. Assurance of Christ's coming. Assurance of that day when everything is as it should be. And we know fully, completely, and finally forever the peace of God. And that compels us to serve him now in faithfulness because we know he's coming. You see, friends, Advent is about remembering and celebrating Jesus' first coming at his birth. But Advent also draws our attention to King Jesus' second coming, his return. It's a call to faithfulness. And our faithfulness is rooted in and it flows out from God's own faithfulness. Advent is evidence of God's faithfulness. Faithfulness that we see in his power. Faithfulness that we see in his presence. Faithfulness that we see in his peace. And so we pray with the Apostle John, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen? Let's pray together. Indeed, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come. Come quickly, come soon. Even as you already did this first time, come again in your glory and power to finally and fully complete all of God's promises and make the world whole and new and right again. And gather us to yourself. But until then, would you give us faithfulness, faithfulness that flows out of your own faithfulness, that we might serve you without fear all the days of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.